Hi, this is Sean Halter, host of the CMO Suite podcast, letting you know that as we kick off season four, several of these episodes were recorded in New York City just prior to the COVID outbreak. And as always, don't forget to subscribe and catch up on all the previous episodes at www.thecmosuite.com.
This episode of the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconex. Uconex provides digital solutions and teams to brand CMOs, VPs, and marketers looking for true transparency in the biddable media space. From paid social and PPC to complex platforms like the Trade Desk, brands from across the world have connected to Uconex. Visit them today at uconex.com. And No Kid Hungry. We're proud to promote No Kid Hungry and their many initiatives to help kids in need of meals. Visit them at nokidhungry.org.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. Winmo tracks every national advertiser, their agency relationships, and key executives within each organization. Get instant media spend, competitor tracking, and industry trend analysis in one easy-to-use application that integrates with all major CRM platforms. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.
Finally, the CMO Suite is presented by thecmocouncil.org as their official marketers podcast. The Chief Marketing Officer Council is the only global network of executives specifically dedicated to high-level knowledge exchange, thought leadership, and personal relationship building among senior corporate marketing leaders and brand decision makers. The CMO Council's 15,000 plus members control more than $550 million in aggregated annual marketing expenditures and run complex distributed marketing and sales operations worldwide. For more information on membership, visit thecmocouncil.org. Let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
Hello and welcome to the CMO Suite. This is your host, Sean Halter. It is season four. We are in the middle of chaos, but in the middle of all chaos, there's always some calm within the storm. And I am incredibly excited that we're doing some episodes remotely. And in doing so, we have been able to pull together some amazing guests, including my next guest, which is Cynthia Chen. I've known Cynthia for several years now. I knew her from her time at General Mills, and I'm incredibly excited to have her on with us remotely via Zoom like everybody else. She is currently the General Manager and President of Consumer Health, Relief, and Wellness for RB. Cynthia, thank you for joining us on the show.
Happy to. Great seeing you again.
It's nice seeing you again as well. I'm happy to have you on the show. I'm sad that we are having to do this remotely because you are so much fun in person. You're also always dressed to the nines. You always make me look like I'm so shabbily dressed. But that said, exciting time, really, in some ways, for all of us to be just almost pausing in some ways and refiguring out what moving forward looks like. Certainly there is chaos out there. Certainly this is a situation where many lives have been impacted, and many of those not necessarily positively. But for all of us, each day we have to wake up and make the most of that day and make our way through this and realize, what does moving forward look like? So with that, how are things for you in the city? I'm assuming you're back in New York.
I'm back in New York. As a matter of fact, I'm actually living in New Jersey at the moment.
I don't want to go too far back, but I would like for those of our guests who maybe have heard your name before, they've heard of Cynthia Chen, maybe they've seen some of your posts or some of the many speaking engagements that you do. So if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind just going backwards at least a little bit, and then we can talk about what forward looks like. And I'd love to hear more certainly about the position that you're at now with RB. But that said, remind me and some of our listeners, where did you grow up?
I was born and grew up in China, Shanghai, China.
And so you grew up in Shanghai, and from your time remembering growing up, how old were you before you moved from Shanghai? Did you live most of your early life there?
I lived most of my early life, and I came here for school.
How was that living in Shanghai as a kid? Obviously, it's all you know, no matter where you grew up, whether you grew up in Shanghai or Chicago or New York or whatever city, it's the city you know. How did you enjoy that time, and what's changed over the years in Shanghai from that time?
Shanghai is obviously a big city. So Shanghai is like New York City of China. I think I changed significantly, especially last 2 years I was in Shanghai. I went back to Shanghai working for General Mills as a CEO running China. I would say that when I was growing up, we look at the United States as epicenter of, all this technology. But right now, actually, Shanghai and China is actually the epicenter of what's happening in the future.
And it is amazing. One of the things I loved about the last time that you and I spoke, and really any time that we speak, is you have this global presence. You've worked around the world, and that brings you a unique clarity, in my opinion, in some ways, to be able to look at things flat, to be able to look at the world in some ways as flat, and not always necessarily just as one country versus another. And sometimes, obviously, we get stuck in those ingrained thoughts, especially sometimes here in the States, that we're the only ones here doing marketing, but it's happening all over the world. And in many cases, it's happening before it's happening here. When you moved here to go to college, am I correct?
Correct.
And where did you end up going to college, Cynthia?
I actually went to Tennessee, University of Tennessee, in Knoxville.
Right.
That's right.
Why did you pick Tennessee? Did your family move here and you knew some people in Tennessee, or what was the reasoning behind Tennessee?
The reason I went to Tennessee are twofold. Tennessee, University of Tennessee, is one of the best schools for supply chain management. So growing up, I was in marketing. I always got laughed at. Hey, marketing, you are fluffy. But deep down, I really want to get into the operations. How do you actually make the not only the idea, but actually make the products happening and push to the consumers? So Tennessee is one of the best schools for that supply and chain management, but also operations. And then the other thing is when growing up, I had a fantasy for football, American football. As you know, Tennessee, Peyton Manning, Vols, they are really, really good at American football. So those are two reasons why I actually chose Tennessee. It turned out to be fantastic. I ended up working with Peyton Manning and his family when I was working on Oreo business. So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Isn't that amazing, again, how our lives can sometimes come full circle? You know, you have these either visions of brands or visions of things as a kid, and then you kind of move forward, and then literally somehow it comes full circle. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love professional wrestling, which of course is a crazy sport, non-sport. But I remember my dad used to take me to matches all the time. My grandparents, would come down to Florida, and I would come with them sometimes just because there was so much wrestling that was here. And then ultimately, when I got my first job in media and marketing, I got a chance to actually work with the WWE. They were the WWF at the time. And then when I opened my first agency, they were one of my very first clients. And you get to kind of see, the behind the scenes of how it all works. But it is amazing how sometimes those moments in your life, you can actually accomplish something with that. And it does allow your life to kind of come full circle in many ways. I want to hit on supply chain for just a second, because dear Lord, if that's not the Bitcoin phrase of what's going on out there right now. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but it's interesting that even back then you had this perspective of the importance of that in the marketing life cycle. Many of us that get into marketing, we get wooed in by these amazing ads or the creative side of it. But the fact that you are already thinking, at that time about supply chain is really interesting. And clearly that's helped really support your path through everything. And so as you finished college, was Mondelez one of your very first jobs outside of there, or did you have a couple of other jobs before you ended up at Mondelez?
Yes, I did. I actually worked for two companies before I moved to Kraft and Mondelez. My first job, actually, I was working for General Mills. So this is also the reason I boomerang back to General Mills the last 2 years. So after Mills, I actually moved here to New Jersey and New York area. I only interviewed with one company. It's RB, Racket. At that time, it's Racket Bank Kizer. And now I'm back to RB. So my career is interesting. It's always boomerang back and forth. And as you said, you liked WWE, you liked wrestling, and your first client was WWE. Looking back, I would agree with you. I think everything happens in life. There's all connected. Everything's connected. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, and it's funny, again, looking at that trajectory for you, just as you've said, you've worked in some places, you probably brought something really incredible to the table at the time, and you also learned from that. Then you went out, tried a couple of different positions in some different ways, and as giant as this world is, it's funny in some ways that your trajectory is still managed to stay somewhat small, really. across not only a few different companies where your uniqueness of knowledge really helps them tremendously, but I'm also amazed by the smallness sometimes of the groups of people that also seem to kind of travel amongst these giant companies. You look at something like Mondelez, which is massive. Their marketing team is massive, but it's interesting, as I'll talk to some people on the podcast, how they either know you or you know them. And in some ways, again, it's these kind of 15, 20 people that as you've built and grown, and as you've built good, solid relationships with them, and they've become dependable for you and vice versa, that you also all often kind of travel in that same path. You could almost do a high school reunion of 50 people that have worked across these four companies, you know, when you think about it, right?
Yes, I agree.
As you finished up at Mondelez and you were there for about 5 years, and I think again that you were the global head of e-commerce for them when you finally departed. Am I correct?
That is correct. So I actually, my longest tenure in United States was with Kraft / Mondelez. Mondelez is 5 years, but before that was Kraft. So if you add them together, more than 7 years with Kraft / Mondelez. Had a great experience there. So my last job was global head of e-com and ventures.
And so from there, then you ended up, I believe, at GSK, correct?
At GSK, yes. I was leading global pain relief category.
Did you feel like that was an opportunity to do something different?
Okay. I at the time I saw there's two reasons why I moved to GSK. One is my mom was diagnosed with cancer. So at that, when you have this life-changing moment, you think about what you do, what really means for broader community. So GSK, is a company that, I respect hugely, and because they are working on stuff actually saving people's life. And the second piece, I truly believe that a pharmaceutical company like GSK, they also need a talent from, really truly a CPG background people to help elevate the marketing excellence. So, those are two reasons why I went to GSK, had a great time. So traveling tons. So by end of the day, I decided to leave there because, I just don't have enough time with my mom. I have to move to China.
And is that where your mom lived?
My mom lived, my parents, they were living in Shanghai, China, still my hometown. Unfortunately, my mom passed away when I was there in China. It's fortunate, but also unfortunate. Fortunate thing was I was there with her. Unfortunate is that she's not with me anymore. But 2 years in China was just a fantastic experience. If you think back, I had an opportunity running two biggest economies in the world. One is obviously here, back home here in the United States, and then back at the other home in China. So, wonderful experience. So fortunate.
It's amazing to think of the fact that that opportunity presented itself. And again, that's a reflection of the work that you do and what you bring to the table. And you are sometimes probably at such a high level, Cynthia, that maybe you don't always see that or get to hear that, but there's certainly a uniqueness in that. And whatever it is that's out there that guides us, whatever your beliefs are, the fact that you were able to put yourself in a position to be able to go back home, spend some time with your mom, and create these memories that really will last forever. And that's certainly, in some ways, just as you said, these life-changing moments. It's what many of us are running into certainly right now. And so just as you said, some sadness, but some happiness in your memories of some of that. When you left GSK, you spent some time in General Mills. That's where you and I got the chance to meet. And then ultimately, you ended up over at RB, and that's where you are right now. And so let's dig into that supply chain piece for just a bit, because really, again, with what's happening out there in the market, with everything happening with COVID globally, supply chain is something that's just getting wrecked. And it seems as if you would certainly know well better than I that it happens not at the same time everything else happens. It's got almost a 30 or a 60 or a 90 day lag. So it's coming in some ways, and maybe it's a tsunami that we've never really experienced, so we don't quite see it. But talk about supply chain a little bit, and maybe again, how that impacts what you do at RB or supply chain in general, and how that impacts marketing as a whole, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So, you know, again, you know, I came back to RB. It's a fantastic company, you know, relate back to, you know, I'm working on the brands, which is, you know, terrific, right? So it's OTC, it's a Mucinex, Dalsam, Cipacol, but also Durex and KY. So in this pandemic, these are products that make, you know, become even more important. We are a global company, so our supply chain operations actually is very complex. So now I actually spend lots of my time, if I look at my everyday, where I spend the time, most of the time is actually spending on the supply and trying to figure out how do we get the products from globally, a lot of countries to here to be in the United States. But it's not only thinking about now, but also planning for, you know, what means for the second half of this year, what means for next year. So we're doing a lot of scenario planning, which will have a huge implication for supply chain for operations. Right now, and specifically for now, we're thinking about, the, you know, instead of giving the depths of the, you know, variety of products we have, what we're thinking is that the most important thing is making sure we have the most important products on the shelf. So which means is that how do we actually look at the prioritize, you know, SKU, not every single SKU, but prioritize the most important SKUs.
And that's got to be so complex. I mean, again, you're managing multiple brands that have some, you know, some connection through obviously the parent company RB, which a lot of people may not actually know. I know the individual brands, Mucinex, KY, those. I didn't realize how when you left to go there, I didn't realize really how big that was. So, and each of those products has some similarities, but also some differences. So that must be incredibly challenging from a supply chain standpoint. Some may be doing better than others. How does that fit within your day-to-day as the general manager and kind of president of consumer health for that? And how does that fit within your marketing scheme as well?
So you know, we have three parts, which is, you know, that was one of the key reasons I was inspired to come back to RB. We have what we call is the protect, heal, and nurture, right? So if you think about protect, we have Lysol. Everybody knows Lysol right now. Lysol is so important, right? So Lysol, Air Wick. Then we have we also have Airborne, right? So Airborne. And then we have heal, which is the Mucinex, Dalsam, Cipacol. Then we have you know, nurture. So we all know that we have the brand like Infamil. So those are three parts that we have. We know all
protect,
the brands.
Protect, heal, and nurture.
Yeah, protect, heal, and nurture, which is a terrific, right? So especially in this pandemic, you felt, you know, we all believe that the basic needs are super, super important. The health and protect and nurture becomes the fundamental needs of everybody, right? So we don't may not need a nightgown, but we do need to make sure that we're staying safe and healthy. So now it becomes like our products provides that unique purpose for people's basic needs, right? So in this pandemic, for me and for the company and for all the brands I manage, is how do we become a helper, right? So, and you and me talked about this, right? So, you know, I was largely influenced by Mr. Rogers' comment about, you know, how do we be a helper, right? So everything we do stems from that, the belief that how do we provide utility, empathy to the people? So this is a time, it's not about the brand itself, it's about how we actually can do from both sales marketing standpoint, is that forget all these, right? Is that how do we actually satisfy and become a helper to supply people with the basic needs that they really need.
In some ways, it's a moment for us to pause, right? A moment for us to reflect, a moment for us to realize what is really most important. What are consumers looking for now? How do you see that evolving? Let's talk about moving forward for the last few minutes here. How do you see that evolving post COVID, post pandemic? What do you see kind of changing within both the life cycle of the brands that you represent and your job itself as well when we come out of this?
Lots of things will happen, right? So obviously I don't have a crystal ball, but that being said, we are working with a lot of really, you know, the best thinkers in the industry, being CDC, you know, WHO, being even internally, we have lots of the scientists. We're also with you know, McKinsey, you know, BCG type of companies and Kent's, so we're working with a lot of experts. There are a few things that we're focusing on. The first form was obviously trying to figure out what the supply operation model, how do we make sure end-to-end process is in place in this new normal. Right. And the second piece is really, you know, digital transformation. Right. We have been talking about digital transformation for the longest time, but it's that this has not changed, right? So it has to be transformed. Now it's about the, you know, it's going to be even move faster, right? So if you look at e-commerce, if you look at entire commerce ecosystem, now the biggest the barrier for e-commerce is trial, right? But you now at home, even the boomers, there's not a lot of options available. So the only thing you do is that you do go online, right? So that's why you see the penetration of e-commerce is increased significantly. And specifically for us is telehealth, right? Telemedicine, telehealth. You know, I have a lot of people frontline, you know, salespeople. In the past, they can go to the doctor's office and telling doctors, say, hey, what is the benefit? How can I help you solve the patient's issues, the challenges? Now they cannot do that. They have to stay at home and they do tele-detailing. Right, so helping the doctors and pharmacists, the professional medical professional to understand our medicine, understand how we can use our medicine to help people.
To your point, and so it is that push forward into the digital space. It is that for many of us, even though we felt like maybe we were in digital or brands that have been in digital, it is almost that final big push that we're here, telemedicine, just as you talked about, everything. This interview notwithstanding, here we are, you know, we're teleconferencing via Zoom to do a podcast that I'd much rather be doing in New York City with you, you adapt around the environment that's around you, and in adapting around it, you create opportunity.
Yeah. So again, you know, digital transformation has not changed, right? So this is continues to go on. It's just, we need to be much faster to adapt to that. So that's the second piece. The third piece is really thinking about the talent, right? So particularly, sales and marketing talent, what are the skills that we need? And the funny thing is that, you know, a pandemic is not that great, but the, one of the good things coming out of this is that there are lots of talented people now staying at home. So now suddenly you have opened up a pool for us to get the best talent, right? So the talent deployment, talent development, and building a caring culture, that's the third point that, you know, that I spend lots of time on. So again, it's about how do we make our operating model and end-to-end process more agile? That's the first one. The second piece is about how do we speed up already happening digital transformation, particularly in the e-com and commerce kind of ecosystem. The third piece is about how do we do a better job in terms of talent deployment, talent development, and building this caring culture, right? But also upskill our existing talent and what are the skills that we need to develop. And suddenly that the world open up and we have more people actually working from home and they have the talent, they have the skills that we need. So, you know, we can get the best talent.
It's a great place to put a cap on this, which is the talent part itself, because I do think there is going to be such a wealth of available talent out there. And I think, again, you'll see a mix of many of those talented people changing their life and changing their positions, changing the companies that they work for from a marketing standpoint. And certainly that creates even more opportunity moving forward. Well, Cynthia Chen, I appreciate you taking a half an hour out of your day with me. I hope once we're allowed to travel back up to New York, you don't mind us grabbing that coffee that we have often promised ourselves.
No, it's not coffee. Now we need to have a drink, right?
Not drinks. Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cynthia Chen, Forbes Top 100 Businesswoman, General Manager, President, Consumer Health, Relief and Wellness for RB. Cynthia, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. Podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. UConnex provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to UConnex today for a free demo. UConnex, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.